Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is a good friend, Rob Bowman, from the Institute for Religious Research in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Rob, we wanted to talk about a subject that kind of bothers many of us who live here in Utah, and that is many times we see when a Mormon finds that Mormonism no longer can be believed, they have a tendency to not go towards another Christian denomination, if you will, or to go into another Christian church, I should say, but they tend to go off into agnosticism and atheism. I think the statistics are around 42% of those who come out of Mormonism end up going that way. And there's a lot of theories as to why that may happen. And one of the theories that we have here at MRM is it tends to show us that the foundation in the Mormon church really is not Jesus as they claim, but really the foundation is the church, Joseph Smith, and all the baggage that comes with that. And unfortunately, when they find out that the church is not true, they tend to throw everything out on top of that foundation, which of course is their view of Jesus. I had an experience one time where I was at the Ex-Mormon Conference that's held here every year in Salt Lake City, and I had an interesting conversation with an ex-Mormon. And she came out, she recognized me, and she said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And she basically asked me what I thought of some of the things that I was hearing inside. And of course, there was a lot of things being said inside by the speakers that really rubbed me the wrong way, because they're mainly atheists, a lot of these people. It's like a room full of angry ex-Mormon atheists, some of them. And I said to her, because she was asking me about that, and I said, "You know, there's one thing you have to think about. If Jesus really rose from the dead, you have to consider that and put all your other questions secondary, put them behind you. But if Jesus really rose from the dead, you're going to have to deal with that. And if he didn't rise from the dead, fine. You know, if you can prove that, I'll join you, because certainly that is the foundation of the Christian faith, is Jesus' resurrection." I don't know if she ever took me up on that. I really don't know, because I haven't seen her since. I probably wouldn't even recognize her anyway. It was a very short conversation. But I want to talk to you about this, because you definitely, you speak on this subject a lot. And what are some of the reasons that we can not only encourage Christians that are listening to continue believing in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, but what about the Mormons that are listening? What could you tell them that would show them that, look, if Mormonism isn't true, you can't throw that out? What would be some of those evidences?
Well, I think this is a terrifically exciting subject, frankly, because the last thing we want to do is to discourage members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from having faith in Jesus Christ, from accepting the truth of his death and resurrection. Those are central truths of the Christian faith. I'm grateful that they subscribe to those doctrines. Unfortunately, there's a lot of other things that are serious problems, but I'm very happy that those are truths that they affirm. Unfortunately, as you say, it seems that they affirm them because they're taught by the church and affirmed as revelation by Joseph Smith, and very often the foundation of their belief in Jesus is, in fact, that so-called modern revelation. When they lose their faith in that, they're going to lose faith in Christ. The good news is there is solid foundational evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ that's entirely independent of the LDS Church or, frankly, any other form of Christianity. It's not based on a denomination, it's not based on a teacher, but it's based on the historical evidence that we have in the New Testament. And just to touch on a few points that really support the resurrection that anybody can really understand and investigate for themselves, we would start simply with the obvious observation that Jesus died. that Jesus died on the cross. Now, this is not an insignificant fact, because if Jesus died on the cross, one has to explain, where did this idea that he was alive come from? Mm. I mean, if he's publicly crucified by the Romans, who are very ruthless and efficient in their means of execution, how did this idea get started, even, that Jesus was risen from the dead? People make it up. And the fact is, the evidence clearly shows that they did not. The evidence shows that after Jesus was crucified by the Romans, that he was buried in a tomb. One reason why we know that Jesus' burial is an historical fact is because the Gospels agree that he was buried by somebody that Christians would normally consider an enemy. That is, a member of the Jewish council, the Sanhedrin, that had sent Jesus over to Pilate to be executed. One or two of the members of the Sanhedrin didn't go along with that, evidently, and one of them actually gave Jesus an honorable burial in his own tomb that he owned. Now, that's not something that Christians in the first century are likely to have invented. They would rather have had some Jewish disciple of Jesus give Jesus the honorable burial, but instead it's a member of the despised Sanhedrin that had conspired to put Jesus to death with the Romans. So the evidence that Jesus was buried in a tomb is significant, and that shows us that when Jesus, the story of Jesus' resurrection began to break out, there was an obvious question that people would ask. You mean the body isn't in the tomb anymore? Because that would be my first thought if I heard that somebody had risen from the dead that had been buried in a tomb. Well, let's go to the tomb and check it out. Right. Of course, the Gospels report that the disciples did just that. They went to the tomb and found that it was indeed empty. But now here's the interesting thing. Even that didn't convince them. Mm-hmm. They didn't say, oh, there's no body in the tomb. I guess he rose from the dead. They weren't that, you know, naive or gullible that they would just immediately jump to the conclusion of a miracle just because they had a little mystery in front of them. But what happened next convinced them. They saw Jesus alive from the dead. He appeared to them. He walked with two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He met with the 11 disciples, of course, the 12 minus Judas, in the upper room. He talked with them. He explained the scriptures to them. He broke bread with them. He let them touch him. He did all these things that convinced them that he had risen from the dead. And even most skeptical biblical scholars, agnostics like Bart Ehrman and people like that, acknowledge that the early Christians, the first Christians, sincerely believed that Jesus had appeared to them from the dead. That they believed that they had experiences, encounters with the risen Jesus Christ. Well, if Jesus had been buried in a tomb, and the tomb had been discovered empty, and then people saw Jesus alive from the dead afterwards, at least they thought they did, if you put all that together, there's really only one good explanation for all those facts, and that is that Jesus did in fact rise from the dead, and the fact that the gospel writers give us the story in the straight way that they do, not sugarcoating it, not hiding potentially damaging admissions, such as the fact that a group of women were the ones that found the tomb empty first, not something Jewish men in the first century are going to make up. These kinds of incidental details in the gospel narratives show that we're dealing with historical bedrock in the accounts of the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. We can believe these things regardless of what church we're part of, yeah. Regardless of what denomination you've been brought up in, or, you know, Christian, non-Christian, whatever, the evidence for it is very compelling.
Some of the language that I find, like in the Gospel of Luke, where it talks about his body, usually you use the word body when you're talking about someone who's not alive. So they firmly believe that Jesus died. This theory, for instance, the Muslims have, is very, what we call the swoon theory, for instance. What evidence would you say that can't possibly be?
Well, this is a very interesting fact. It's somewhat surprising that the majority opinion of non-Christians as to what happened after Jesus' death, what happened to precipitate the belief in the resurrection, is the belief that Jesus didn't die on the cross in the first place. That's the one thing that historians, professional historians, agree is absolutely certain with regard to Jesus of Nazareth, that he was crucified by the order of Pontius Pilate. So that once you understand that, the historical evidence for it is compelling. First of all, no one in the first century is going to make up a story about the Messiah of Israel being crucified by the hated enemies of Israel, the Romans. That's just not something people are going to make up. Secondly, we don't have any stories from the first century or the second century alternative stories that would indicate that Jesus was not actually crucified. This is a much later idea that comes up much later, and it is not something that is held even by any of the heretical or offbeat fringe groups with claiming to be Christian or any enemies of Christianity. Nobody claimed that Jesus had not actually died on the Roman cross. So this kind of evidence is compelling proof for anybody who is simply looking at the historical evidence that Jesus really did die on the cross, and therefore he didn't, you know, somebody else wasn't crucified in his place, or he didn't somehow survive the crucifixion ordeal and pass out and then get revived later. Those ideas simply don't have any historical traction in the fact.
If you were to talk to a Mormon who was struggling with their faith, and maybe would you use this as some kind of, like what I did with that lady, would that be something that you would think that you would challenge them on? I found that it seems to work when I talk to Mormons.
I think this is very important for Mormons to hear, that the foundations of true Christianity are not in a person's feeling in their heart, mm-hmm. not in their confidence in a religious organization or institution, in a priesthood order, in a so-called prophet. I don't put my faith in the Apostle Paul, even though I think he was an inspired apostle. My faith is in the true Jesus Christ, who left a trail of historical evidence that's just overwhelming, that he really was who he said he was, that he really did rise from the dead. And so I would just encourage Mormons, wherever you are in your spiritual pilgrimage, put your faith in something that is solidly grounded in historical, absolute fact that you can trust regardless of what religion you find yourself in.
Yeah, unfortunately, with a Latter-day Saint, there is so much emphasis and faith put into the church itself and into the leadership itself. That sadly, Rob, I find in my conversations with Mormons, they don't seem to separate a lot between, you know, really, you know, this historical Jesus and what the church says. So much emphasis is put on what the church says, and you can understand why, when they come to the realization that the church is wrong, the whole thing gets thrown out.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. We don't want to tear down anyone's faith in Christ. We want to put it on a more solid foundation.
Exactly. We want to give something in exchange for that. That's why I think atheism is so mean and cruel, because they just want to take away and not give you anything in its place.
Right.
And certainly we don't want to do that. And Christian, you need to remember that when you're talking with your Mormon friends, that when you're talking to them, always pepper your message with the gospel. Always give them something to fill that vacuum that may someday be there. Thanks for being with me, Rod.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.